Broadcasting live from the beautiful Hyatt Regency Savannah for Georgia Economic Developers Association 2022 conference. It's time for Association Leadership Radio, brought to you by the Georgia Center for Employee Ownership. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, broadcasting live from the Georgia Economic Developers Association annual conference. So excited to be talking to my next guest, Chris Chimura. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, you are one of the speakers here, CEO and chief economist of your firm. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing for folks? How are you serving folks?
Right. Well, we have two sides of our company. We have consulting work where we help people figure out what is growing in terms of education, what courses should they teach. If a firm is expanding, will they find the workers they need? Then we have a software product called Jobs EQ that helps in terms of labor data with people making better decisions, whether they're students, whether they're businesses, or they're economic developers trying to attract firms to the region.
So your clientele are economic developers as well as individual businesses?
Correct. Educators, site selectors, individual businesses. Yes, we go the gamut.
So you probably have your fingers on the pulse a little bit of the trends that are happening in the country right now?
Yes.
That's part of your work?
Yes. So some people think that we're in a recession right now because we've seen two quarterly declines in GDP, which we have. First and second quarter, they were down. But everywhere around the world, recession is defined by two consecutive drops in GDP. But here in the U.S., we have a group called the National Bureau of Economic Research. And within that group, we have the Business Cycle Dating Committee. They look at monthly data, and they determine we're in a recession when they see a broad decline in different indicators. There are five of them they look at. Employment is one. Employment is growing right now. Personal income is one. Personal consumption. Consumers make up about 70% of GDP, so they're very important. Right now we're seeing growth in that year over year. Industrial production is another one of the indicators, and it's continuing to grow. Finally, retail sales is growing as well. So the GDP number, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets revised one day to be a more positive, because there are some different signals suggesting that this, well, clearly this economy is not as bad as the GDP numbers show.
So is this a unique time where there are these conflicting kind of numbers that are happening in this manner, you know, with interest rates now going higher, the stock market going lower, and then all of the data that you just shared that is going in a positive direction? So it seems like conflicting in some areas.
It is very conflicting, and it is unique in that sense. But everything has been unique since we've started into this pandemic.
So the pandemic, you think, is the kind of that trigger event that has caused this?
I think it has some influence on just how different indicators are reacting with people working remotely, with inflation going up. We had the supply chain shortages. And so the Fed has two mandates: to grow employment as fast as possible, for the unemployment rate to be as low as possible, and to keep inflation stable. Because if inflation is stable, being defined as about 2%, you're not thinking about inflation and making decisions. If you're thinking about inflation is going up and you start to stockpile things, that could create problems in the future, so worse recessions. So the Fed now clearly has stated that it's going to get inflation back down to 2%. And in doing that, they're raising the federal funds rate,
right,
which is pushing all the other interest rates up, which will most likely cause the curve to invert, the yield curve, and an inversion of the yield curve is the best indicator of recession. So we actually have a recession occurring in the U.S. in the second and third quarters of next year.
So that's a projection?
That's a projection.
And then that's based on the interest rates going up again shortly?
Yes.
And then they'll continue to do that until they can get a handle on the inflation?
Right. And what I think the market is now starting to understand is that, yes, not only are they going to take the interest rates higher than they expected, I think the market was thinking somewhere around 3.5. Now we're looking at maybe 4.3%. And the market was thinking that when the economy slows enough, if we go into recession, the Fed will lower the rate. And Fed officials have clearly said we're going to keep them at...
That's going to be there for a minute.
for longer than a minute.
Right. So now, this as the population ages, historically there has been kind of a rule of thumb, I guess, of this kind of 60-40 kind of equities and bonds strategy of for your retirement. And then with the bond yields being so low, it was difficult to, you know, kind of have those lower risk investments that were kind of supporting your retirement. How is this going to be impacted by that kind of changes?
Yeah, so I'm an economist, not a financial advisor, so I should stay away from that one. But clearly it does, you have to go somewhere else to get that income. However, interest rates are going up now, so,
right,
that will be positive from that sense.
So now, when you're advising your clients, what are some of the things that you're telling them to maybe take advantage of the opportunities? Because in every crisis, there are opportunities.
Right. So we mainly advise clients on the labor side. So do we have enough workers? So with the unemployment rate is going to be going up, it will be easier to find people to get them working again, as opposed to right now it's an employee's market. When we start to see the unemployment rate go up, it'll shift to an employer's market. So that certainly will help. But bottom line, we're advising our clients to make sure that they're talking to the educators, to the training providers, making sure that they know what skills they need for the future so that their pipeline will continue to be full.
Do you see more collaboration between industry and schools? As I've had recent guests that talked about it as early as high school, where they're creating curriculum that is specific to an industry in their area that is training basically younger people to have the skills so they can immediately get a job right out of college and be trained.
Yes. So we've seen that a lot. And in fact, there are government programs that require schools, especially those that are, say, teaching kids welding and other things like that, some of the trades, to make sure that they're teaching them for in-demand occupations. So some of those schools are using the data that we provide to make sure that they're giving the kids the right skills.
Right. And then what about kind of the maybe an acceleration to encouraging more young people to go a path, maybe not necessarily university, but into technical and vocational?
Yeah, and that's an interesting one because oftentimes we see the benefit of that, but sometimes it's harder for parents that have a BS degree to encourage their kids to...
So the parents maybe are influencing this more than would be optimal for the child and right. also the industry.
Right, but many of those jobs pay very well, so
right.
parents shouldn't really think that way.
But that, and that was because as parents, they were probably encouraged to go to college. That was the path.
Right, probably so. But now that we've seen so many kids have debt, school debt, and not be able to pay it off, and now the younger kids are seeing their older siblings struggling,
right.
not being able to find a job, or not being able to pay off their debt. So that is having an impact at kids deciding, well, I can go to a boot camp, I could be trained for 2 months, 3 months, and I can get a
learn
job.
Learn coding and get paid six figures.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of opportunity. Now, what about kind of automation? How is that coming into play with more robots doing different tasks and more things being automated, maybe displacing some people in different careers that may be creating more opportunity in other careers, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But it's something that's needed right now with the labor market being as tight as it is. So now you go to McDonald's and you go to a kiosk and you order. You right. don't go to the cashier. Or you go to a store and you put stuff in your basket and you get charged for it. You take it out. So there's not as many people needed. We're more productive.
But so when you replace, you know, with those maybe lower skilled jobs with automation or a robot, is that those folks that were having those jobs, are they able to find another job, or they're going to be required to kind of get more training and then maybe go back to the as we were saying earlier, like them finding a path to a more vocational technical skill?
Yeah, probably they may be able to find another job in what they were doing before. But it's interesting during this COVID period where, you know, throughout our career, we think about different things. We think about going into a different occupation. We think about maybe starting our own business. But during COVID, it was sort of like a quiet time where a lot of people were able to stay at home. They were paid even more than they would have been paid if they were working. And so during that time, they considered these alternatives. Some decided to start their own business. Some decided to get new skills. And so I think that's something that we see, this churn going on in the economy all the time, but we saw a lot more of it during COVID.
Now, is this kind of creative destruction happening in a way that we're going to come out of this with more skilled people doing different things, and it's just we're going through this kind of tricky transition of moving people out of things that maybe they were comfortable doing into in areas where maybe they're going to have to learn a little bit more or have different skills?
I think it's going to be all of that, but I like your use of creative destruction because, you know, we think about, we don't have telephones that are hung on the wall anymore, but we have these phones that we're carrying around with us every place.
So, that are computers.
Yes.
That used to be in rooms, you know.
So that creates different
opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But then it requires a reskilling. And are you finding that the population is up for that challenge?
Yeah, that's why we have workforce. And so funds come down from the federal government to go to states and to workforce areas around the state and the nation. And those funds specifically are given for them to help individuals who lost their jobs to get new skills. Places around the nation that have the highest unemployment rate get the most money to be able to reskill the population.
Mm-hmm. And then you're seeing them able to serve that population, though? Or are the people that are they taking advantage of that? Or is that something that you wish that they would do more of that?
I wish they would do more of that because not everyone understands that we've got these workforce areas around the country and in different regions. So It's something that's not promoted as well as it could be.
But that's, again, an opportunity.
Right.
So for you, what do you need more of? How can we help you?
We need some salespeople right now, and we need some IT workers. So we have a pretty stable workforce, but it seems that salespeople are hard to find. So if you can find us a few salespeople, that'd be great.
And then so then their job would be to go to these economic development like functions like this,
right,
and let people know about the opportunity to work with you?
Correct, about the opportunity to license our Jobs EQ product.
So that's really your emphasis right now? So you were able to create technology that allows the people to kind of tap into your brain or information that you can help them with, but on their own?
Right, exactly.
So how would they use that software?
They would get a subscription, then we'd train them to go in there and look at within my region, for example, if I'm trying to bring a paint coatings firm to Savannah with 150 people, what occupations will I need? I'll need some coating machine setters. Do I have enough here? If I don't have enough here, are there other people I could train to get into that position, and how much money will they make relative to the nation?
So then it allows them to kind of almost in real time get that information to tell their prospective client that, hey, this is we'll be able to help you here.
Exactly. Helps. It's called Jobs EQ. EQ is equilibrium for short. So our idea was if we get people the information, then we'll get to equilibrium faster. We'll have more people employed because the kids will know what's in demand. If you know, there are no jobs for art history in a particular area, I might decide to become an economist or something.
Is that what happened? That sounds very personal. Is that what happened to you?
No, it didn't.
So a student could benefit from the software as well?
Absolutely.
So like you're licensing it to colleges or to guidance counselors or things like that as well? So they can kind of, look, you want to do that. Maybe you have to move to Wyoming if you want to do that.
Exactly.
And then the child doesn't know.
Right.
So good stuff. Well, congratulations on all the success, and thank you so much for sharing your story today. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Now, what is the website if somebody wants to get a hold of you?
Chmura, it's easy to spell, chmura.com, chmura.com.
Good stuff. Well, Chris, thank you again for sharing your story.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll be back in a few at Georgia Economic Developers Association Annual Conference.